Last week, I mentioned the fact that, you know, prayer for a believer is not a gift in the sense that it's one of the gifts of the Spirit. Prayer is something that every one of us is called to because we are a royal priesthood. And it's not optional for a believer. God has chosen you and I as the vessels on earth, His agents on earth, His ambassadors, to invoke heaven's influence in the earth realm. And therefore, we need to pray God's kingdom to come and will to be done. And today, I want to talk about how to pray. You know, there are a lot of Christians who don't really know how to pray. I have people ask, well, I don't really know how to pray. Well, if you can talk to someone else, you can talk to God, right? It's talking to God, but it's not just talking to God, it's talking with God. God wants to speak to us. And so when we pray, we need to listen to what the Lord says too. I'm good at making all kinds of requests, but sometimes not so good on listening. And when you and I communicate, we're not really communicating correctly unless we are good listeners. We need to be quick to listen, slow to speak. And the same thing is true when we come before Almighty God. And we need to be listeners when we communicate to one another. How many know that it's hard to communicate with somebody who's constantly doing all the talking? And it's hard to be in a conversation when you're just having to listen all the time, too. So that was for somebody here today. I don't know. Maybe it was for me. But it's about listening, right? Being good listeners. God teach me to listen. I have a good friend that's here on the drums today that I've been together years and years. He told me one time, I said, how am I doing? He said, well, it's during the youth ministry time, about 20 years ago or whatever it was. And he said, well, the kids don't think that they can talk to you. And why is that? He says, because they don't feel like you're listening. You're doing all the talking. And it's very easy to do, folks, especially if we're talking to a quiet person. You know, sometimes we feel obligated to fill in the space because there's no response or, you know. How many of us, sometimes the best thing to do is not say anything? Sometimes we just need to sit quiet and listen to God. Be still and know that I am God. So communication is two ways. And prayer is basically just talking to God and talking with God. Communing with Him, talking and asking, you know, for His help, of course. That's petitions. We come to Him with petitions. But there's a certain pattern. There's a certain order that God has established for us. And it's in the Lord's Prayer. And I don't believe that the Lord gave us that prayer as something that we need to repeat over and over and over again, hoping that one of those 100 times God is going to hear us. How many know God is not hard of hearing? Amen. Amen. When you pray the first time, He hears you. When you whisper, when you think, He hears your thoughts too. Many times I've prayed just in my heart without saying anything. And God has answered that prayer. There's been times when I've been confronted with situations where I needed a word from God or I needed help, and I just prayed in my heart to God. I said, Lord, help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And I'm asking You for grace. I'm asking You for wisdom. I'm asking You for the words. And so we have to learn to discipline ourselves to listen in conversation. We cannot be effective communicators unless we're doing a lecture like I often do. You know, there's a time for that, but there's a time for us if we're especially one-on-one with somebody that we are listening to that person. So enough said, right? Understand that. So how should I pray? First of all, when we come to God, we must come to Him in faith. What is faith? Simply said, it trusting, believing. that God is there. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Secondly, we must pray according to God's will. And 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. He's going to answer. Now, God is looking for someone who will pray his will. Can you say amen to that? Remember, God gave you and I, in the very beginning, mankind, he gave us dominion. He said, let them have dominion. And so God will not violate his word. He's not going to interfere. If you don't want God, he's not going to, you know, make himself, you know, come upon you, or he's not going to interrupt your day. Somebody had prayed for you sometime, somewhere. You know, because God will answer prayer. God will move upon people. God is moving on Muslims around the earth right now. He's sovereignly revealing himself to them. They call him the man in white, has been appearing to them and saying, I am Jesus Christ. And this is not a fake. This is the true Jesus. They're having visions of Jesus. Somebody is praying, though, for the Muslims. We need to be praying for our Muslims. Amen? For these are people that God wants also to be saved. Remember, if you think all Muslims are terrorists, that's not true, first of all. However, Saul of Tarsus was a terrorist, amen, who became Paul the Apostle, who wrote, right, 2/3 of the New Testament, used mightily of God. God will choose sometimes the people that we least expect to work mightily through. Sometimes the least, the last one to be chosen, God says, that's the one. Just like David. After the lineup, there was one left out in the field tending sheep, and God said, this is the one. So sometimes being last isn't a bad thing, because sometimes those who are last are going to be first. But if you try to make yourself first, you'll end up last. If you try to exalt yourself, or you try to promote yourself, you'll never get anywhere. Or you'll only have temporary success. And even your ability may get you to the top, but only your character is going to keep you there. Amen. So we need, thirdly, to pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we need to pray what? In faith, according to God's will. And we need to pray the Father in the name of Jesus. John 16:23, and Jesus said, in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Does God want us to have joy? In the Lord's Prayer, we're given an outline on how to pray. And again, Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 7, when you pray, do not use vain repetitions. You don't have to chant a mantra, amen, for God to hear you. There are people who chant even scriptures or chant this prayer, and yet God just said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. So it's not something that we have to repeat over and over, but it's an outline of how we are to approach God, how we pray. And so he says, therefore, in verse 8, do not be like them, because the heathen do this. He says, they should think they'll be heard for their many words, such as the Buddhists who chant for wealth and prosperity or whatever. They just chant over and over again. And therefore, do not be like him, he says, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Matthew 6:9 says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." The first part of this prayer has to do with our Father's will, the will of the Father. We are to address our Father in heaven who is holy. When we pray, we need to know who we're praying to. A lot of people use God generically, and God can be anything. Are you hearing me? Or anyone. And there are many people that think they're God. And so when we address God, we need to address Him as holy. He is the only holy God. He's the Father in heaven, amen? The Holy Father. He's not a man on earth. There is one Holy Father. Jesus said, "Call no man Father on earth, for there is one, your Father in heaven." So we address Him as Holy Father. Okay, now it's not saying that we have earthly fathers. It's talking about in a spiritual sense. We are brethren. There are fivefold ministries that God gives. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, right? But the believers, all the believers in Christ are a priesthood. Amen. We are priests unto God. And when we come in prayer, we address our Father in heaven who is holy, the Holy Father, the Holy God. Amen? We are to seek first the kingdom of God when we pray. Not our own will. And so the first priority in this outline is that we are to pray for His kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Again, remember, we're talking about prayer. We're talking about the importance of you and I petitioning God so that His eternal purposes can be accomplished or fulfilled on the earth. God has chosen you and I to be that priesthood for His kingdom to come and His will to be done. It's not for a select few. It's not for just preachers, but it's for every one of us in Christ. We are a priesthood to invoke God's influence on the earth. Amen. If we do not pray, then evil prevails. What is God's will? You know, many people pray this very prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But they pray it without any clue as to what God's will is. Are you hearing me? They just do a religious repetition of a prayer, but they don't really understand what they're even saying, because if we don't know what God's will is, how can we pray for that will to be done? How many know that God wants you to be specific when you ask Him? Amen. That He has a specific purpose, amen, for you and I and on the earth. And we have to be specific about what we're asking for. And so I'm going to share with you a few scriptures that are going to reveal to us what God's will is, so that we know that if we're praying this way, that God is hearing us. Kind of important, isn't it? How many know that some of our prayers don't get answered? How many know that a selfish prayer won't get answered? But a prayer according to God's will be answered. That is a promise. God has commanded, first of all, that all men would live holy, committed, obedient lives. Acts 17:30, the second part of that verse says, "But now God commands all men everywhere to what? To repent." To repent. What does God want? God wants to grant people repentance. He wants to give them the grace of repentance. He wants mankind to come to an awareness of their sinfulness so that they will turn to Him, the only one who can forgive them and cleanse them and save their soul. So God wants, first of all, men to be holy, like He is holy, to be pure, amen, unmixed, to be completely purified by the blood of Jesus, amen, and to be possessed by the Holy Spirit of God, amen, not any other spirit. So God's first plan is that we would be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, that we will be made holy like He is holy. Folks, we cannot be holy unless we abide in the Holy One.
Amen.
He makes us holy. Holy is not just somebody wearing a fancy robe and looking, you know, like they just float on clouds and walk around like some holy man. Come on. Holiness is being in the image of God and the likeness of God, being made like Him. Why? Because He's holy. What does holiness mean? Remember, it means integration. Holiness means integration. That means what God is holy, right? So everything God thinks, everything God says, everything God does always agrees.
Amen.
He doesn't think one thing, say another thing, do another thing. Amen. What He thinks, what He says, what He does always agrees. And so when we are holy, when we are whole, we will also be people of purity, of integrity. We'll be people who think and speak and do the same thing. A hypocrite is one who thinks one thing and does a different, or says one thing and does a different. They are players. They are actors. Anybody, amen, can say that they're holy, but your life will reveal whether you're holy or not. And you cannot be holy by trying to be holy. You cannot be holy by trying harder. You can only be holy by abiding in Christ, by abiding in Him who is holy, who is, amen, everything, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always one in agreement. Amen? What the Father says is what Jesus says and what the Holy Spirit says. They're all in agreement. They're the Holy Trinity. One God in three expressions. Some kind of like water, steam, and ice. All H2O, right? God wants us to be holy. Secondly, God's will is to make disciples. God's will that we are to pray for is for the nations to be discipled. That means to be followers of Jesus. A disciple is a student, a pupil, a learner. That's what that word means. And so we are to pray for God's will to be done. Amen? And that is to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Isn't it interesting that Jesus told us to pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into the harvest? How many know you and I are supposed to be laboring together? Amen? For the world, for the sake of the world, Lord, burn like a fire in me. Here am I. Make me your vessel. Who shall I send? Who will go for me? Then said I, Lord, here am I, Lord, send me. We are working together. And we are to pray for laborers. Why? Because God will move upon people when we pray His will. And He chooses again, you and I, who He gave authority on the earth realm to accomplish His eternal purposes. That's how important prayer is, folks. You know, I quoted, was it John Wesley last week, that without God, man can do nothing. But it seems that without man, God will not do anything. Isn't that interesting? How important it is that you and I will stand in the gap, that we will pray, that we will be, God is looking for people to pray. He's looking for people who will agree with Him. He's looking for people who will be obedient to His heart and to His will, so His will can be accomplished on the earth, and He's going to do that through you and I. How many are here today and say, Lord, that's me, sign me up? How many feel like it's more important now to pray? You understand how important it is that God is waiting on you and I to get into position so that He can work in and through us and accomplish His purposes. God gave us the keys to bind and to loose. But we've got to use the keys. It's not enough to know you have them. Amen. You've got to use them. And as you begin by faith to step out and activate, you know, the gift of God that's in you, you will see God manifest Himself. You'll see God's glory. Yeah, God wants to use every one of us here. God wants to send you out, amen, and let you be His mouthpiece and let you be His vessel through whom He will touch the world. Every one of us here. It's not just for the preacher. I just sit here and I listen to the preacher and then I go home. I get it over with. No, my job is to equip, right, and to impart so that you can go and do the work of the ministry. Together we labor. For who? For Jesus. Amen? We do it for Jesus. We do it because Jesus gave His life for us. Jesus suffered for us. He suffered a horrible death for all mankind. He's not willing that anyone should perish. He wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so God is looking for someone who will say, Lord, I'm that vessel. Here am I. Sign me up, Jesus. And the enemy comes along and says, well, you can't do that. Oh, yes, you're right. I can't do that. I can't do God's will on my own. But we can do all things through Christ. He gives us the ability. He empowers us. God's will is to make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things. Everybody say all things. Not just some things, but all things that I commanded you. All things that I taught you. God's will is that no one would perish. God's will is to send forth laborers. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Anybody here want to be God's mouthpiece? God's will is that you and I will proclaim His praises. To proclaim the praises of Him, to make our boast of Him, to let people know how good God is, to let people know what God has done in our life. You don't have to be a theologian. You just need to have, amen, the experience of being born again, amen, and being a child of God. You simply can tell people, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. What He did for me, He can do for you. And we need to be so full of Jesus so that people will say, what's different about you? There's something different about you. You know, you're not dancing to the same flute everybody else is. That's all bummed out and pessimistic and negative and, you know, and ugly towards each other and unforgiving and slanderous. And, you know, you love and you serve and you forgive and you bless instead of curse. And what's the difference here? How can you do that? Well, I can't do it on my own, but I can do it by the grace of God. God gives me grace. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. In 1 Peter 2:9, I send this out often because it's such a powerful reminder to us of who we are. And it says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Pray that God would fill our hearts and mouth with His praise. Yeah. You want to know the best way to get a praise on? Is to be thankful. Thanksgiving produces praise. When we start to give thanks to the Lord, we start to reflect on the goodness of God. Folks, you know what? America has got more money than just about any nation on earth, you know. We're more affluent than most nations of the earth. And yet sometimes we have the least amount of joy and we have the highest amount of mental illness and we take more drugs than any other nation. What's wrong with that picture? I think sometimes because we're spoiled and we're indifferent and we don't appreciate what we have because we've just taken it for granted. And yet there are people, you know, if you go into some of these places where people are so impoverished and you do a little deed or you give them a small gift or of some kind, they are extremely thankful. Extremely thankful. And over here, people go, thanks, you know. And you see sometimes, and I'm talking about believers in these nations too, that they're so joyful because they don't have a lot, but they have a lot in Jesus. Amen? They're rich in God. They have joy of the Lord. Amen? They're not hung up on the dollar bill. They're not hung up on stuff. If they have stuff, they're happy, they're thankful for it, but they don't allow the stuff to have them. They don't make a god or an idol out of stuff like we do in America, you know. It's this thing of the American dream, you know, pursuing stuff and wealth, and there are no U-Hauls going to heaven. We're living for the King. We're living for eternity. We're living for the kingdom. We are to sow our lives now. And someday we will reap. Keep on sowing in the Spirit. God wants us to desire what He desires, to will what He wills, and to ask Him to accomplish His purposes on the earth. When you're in a relationship with someone, you want them to want you. Are you with me today? Amen? When you're in a relationship, a love relationship, you want your wills to be united. Can two walk together unless they're in agreement? When you're in a relationship, a husband and wife relationship, and you're walking together, and you're in agreement, it's beautiful. And you know, when you pray together as well, as husband and wife, there's such power in agreement. You can change any situation in your home, turn anything around if you just come together in agreement and in unity. Join wills together in the will of God. Amen? Find out what the will of God is and agree with God for that will to be done, and you will see heaven kiss earth. You will see God's intervention. You will see God take care of your needs. So after we've prayed the Father's will, then we can make our petitions known. And Jesus said, if we abide in Him, in John 15:7, He says, in My words, abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. He's talking about bearing fruit that glorifies the Father here. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, how many know this is very important? You have this word in your heart, amen? Then you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. So in verse 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. What is my daily bread? Well, I'm going to broad brush the answer. It's God's provision for us, spiritual and natural. Everything we need. Amen. He is our life. If you want life, you're going to have to find Him as your life. Yeah. Yes. Some people said, "Wait, I was really living it up. I've lived it up a lot in the world and regretted it the next day. I was living it up. And then I'm bowing down to the porcelain god the next morning, you know, paying homage. But life is not an activity. Life is a person. Life is Jesus Christ. As we abide in Him, we abide in life. As we abide in Him, we are holy. What is my daily bread? It's God's provision of everything I need, whether it be natural or spiritual. God takes care of His kids. So these are some legitimate things to pray for that are in the Father's will. Are you ready? Number one, provision. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Provision. Another legitimate thing to pray for is protection. Psalms 91 and verse 9. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. So it's just talking about abiding in God, abiding in Christ. If you're abiding in Him, it says in verse 10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. You know what? We get the devil out of our hair, out of our life, out of our family, out of our finances, out of our business, if we will get Jesus in. If we'll get self out of the way and get Jesus in, amen, and prioritize the will of God, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek God above everything else. Seek His kingdom above everything else. And then everything that you have need of, He will take care of. He will add to you. Protection is something we can pray for that God expects us to do. Another one is for deliverance. Psalms 91:3 says, surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler. Who's that? Satan. And from the perilous pestilence. There are evil forces that are very much at work, amen, that are bent on our destruction. And so God wants us to be free and He wants us to be delivered. If we all will continue to abide in Christ, to abide neath the shadow of His wing, amen, in the secret place of the Most High, the devil cannot touch you. If we would guard ourselves, the enemy would not be able to touch us. If we guard ourselves, the enemy can't touch you. Too often, you know, people are just preoccupied with fighting the devil. If you just deal with your flesh, the devil can't touch you. If you just deal with that sin nature, put it to death, deny it, amen, starve it to death, and feed your spirit instead, the enemy doesn't have any place. It's like, well, there's no place, boys, here. We'll go to someone that's open. We'll go to the compromising Christian. We'll go to the lukewarm Christian. We'll go to the Christian who's just kind of playing at this thing, you know. They've got their other life, too. And it's in the area of the other life where, hey, boy, there's an open door here. There's a portal. Let's go for it. And let's bring destruction on this person. If we will guard ourselves, if we will obey the voice of God, amen, if we will abide in the Holy One, we will be holy, and a holy person the devil can't touch. He can't touch you. I'm not worried about people putting hexes on me or speaking curses against me. Why? Because I'm clothed in the armor of the Holy Spirit. God, amen, has filled my life. God is my protector. Amen? I'm not worried about, I'm not afraid of the devil. And I don't need to be, and you don't either. If you're in Christ, you don't need to fear the devil. As a matter of fact, if you know who you are in Christ, he's going to be afraid of you. And that's the word of God. Another thing we can pray for is wisdom. I pray for this a lot. James 1:5, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. Ask in faith. Everything we do must be in faith. In other words, when we come to God, we ask and we believe in our heart that we're going to receive it. Simple childlike faith. Just, I'm asking God, and I'm expecting to receive it. That's how you pray. Endurance. We can pray for endurance. Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It didn't say those who are hasty, but those who wait on the Lord. Those who stand, amen, their ground and pray. God will strengthen you. Sometimes there's a battle, amen, to contend. You're going to contend with something in your life, and you have need of perseverance. Well, guess who gives you perseverance? The same one, amen, that gives you everything else you need. You just come to the Father and say, Father, I need strength. I need strength. I need endurance. Peace. We pray for His peace. In Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Has anybody found this to be a comfort at times? Has anybody discovered that God is our peace? And He will keep us in peace if we stayed on Him? How about forgiveness of sins? How about healing? All these things, James 5:13. Amen? We confess in verse 16 our trespasses to one another, and we pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, this is an area where many people have a difficult time, because when somebody hurts you, it's sometimes hard to forgive them or to let them go. But if you do not let them go, that's going to come back and continue to bite you. Amen? It will mess with you, and the enemy will have permission then to torment you. That's why forgiveness is not an option, because Jesus went to the cross for us, amen, the righteous one for the unrighteous one, the sinless one for the sinner. Jesus went to the cross on our behalf because he loved us, and he took our sins upon himself. He died a horrible death for us, amen, who didn't deserve what he did, but he did it out of love. And if God has been merciful to us, if God was willing to forgive us, if God was willing, amen, to suffer for us, then we should also be willing to suffer, amen, an injustice, to suffer when somebody else does something against us and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And if you hold on to unforgiveness, it's like a cancer to your soul. It will eat you up. It will destroy you. You've got to let people go. And you've got to ask God, you've got to pray for God's grace to forgive. You see, that's why we pray. Because if you want God to intervene in your life, you're going to have to talk to him. And you're going to have to pray his will. It's God's will, folks, for forgiveness. It's God's will for healing. Jesus gave us this example. Let's look at it. Matthew 18:23. And I'm going to read it, okay? Can you just listen just for a moment, please? I'm going to read it because it's from the New Living Translation. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of the debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned, to pay the debt. How many know that happens a lot in the world today? It still does. But the man fell down before his master, and he begged him, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all. Then the master, verse 27, was filled with pity. He had pity on him, and he released him and forgave his debt. Forgiveness is a cancellation of debt. You owe, but I'm forgiving you. I'm canceling the debt. Now listen to this. But when the man left the king, he went to his fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. So here's a man who owed millions of dollars. He found mercy from the king. Amen. Was excused, was released from that debt. And then he goes and he finds his servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. You hurt me. You owe me. When somebody is holding an offense. Amen? It basically means that you're holding something against them. And that's why people often say, you owe me for what you did. That's unforgiveness. And so his fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. Now listen to what his creditor did. He wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested, put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven, and he said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you? Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Now hear this. Jesus said, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. That's why we pray, Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Another translation says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Jesus paid the price that we could never pay. He paid the highest price so that you and I could receive a cancellation of debt, so that we could be forgiven. Amen? So that we could be regenerated, that we could become His sons and His daughters. If God has had mercy on us, then we should also have mercy on others who trespass against us. Because what we did to God by making it necessary for Him to go to the cross, amen, was not anything that He deserved. And so when people do to us what we don't deserve, that's where we have to have the mind, the heart of Christ, and say, even as God forgave me, I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to cancel the debt. Now, that doesn't mean that you need to continue to walk with this person. Amen. Some relationships you need to get out of. If a person is abusive, continually abusive. However, God showed us mercy. God gave us grace. So we should do the same for one another. And I'm going to finish with this. Jesus said, are you hearing? This is my commandment, that you love one another. That you love one another. As what? I have loved you. Bless those who curse us. Pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Amen? And we're going to be children of our Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, let's love one another. Amen? Yes, amen? Amen. Take the risk to love. Let the wall down. Love people. Amen? And if somebody curses you, bless them back. Because if you curse those who curse you, you're setting yourself up for a problem. How many know that there's power of life and death in our tongue? Amen. You want death? Start speaking death. You want life? Speak life. You want to be blessed? Bless. Amen.